The Persian Letters, published in 1721, is a great French classic, but paradoxical though it may sound, it was not actually published in France in 1721. I've been suggesting that the Regency, with its love of pleasure and its relative intellectual freedom, was a highly liberal period, but in fact the church continued to maintain a hard line, and the royal censor was also extremely vigilant about what could be published. And Montesquieu's text, which bits of which I think had been read before the whole book was published, it was clearly blasphemous in some respects and a dangerous book. And so, unsurprisingly, Montesquieu didn't try to publish it in France. He sent a copy to Holland. Holland, being a Protestant country, was much more lax and didn't impose a strict regime, and was also a great centre of publishing. And many controversial, many difficult texts were published first in the United Provinces and were then shipped back clandestinely to booksellers in France. And this was the case with the Persian Letters, which came out in Holland in 1721 and was published anonymously. Why anonymously? I mean, it's clear that Montesquieu wanted to make a splash. He wanted a commercial success. He was entitled to royalties. But there are probably two explanations for this. Montesquieu's authorship was an open secret. There was no doubt about who had written this, at least in certain circles. And in fact, his notoriety as the author of the Persian Letters became his ticket to swish, swanky Parisian salon after 1721. In fact, he lived in Paris for a few years. I didn't return to Bordeaux until the late 1720s. But he decided to publish anonymously, I think, firstly, because it's not the done thing for an aristocrat to look like a Grub Street journalist. Grub Street journalist is a bit of an anachronism, but, you know, if you read the Persian Letters, there is a letter in the text that talks about the way in which journalists collected gossip and information and then published these handsheets. And so we see in France in the 1720s a literary culture that is becoming more and more commercial, and although it's too early to speak about a public sphere, which is a sort of buzzword for historians at the moment, there is a, if not a mass market, there is a large non-aristocratic readership for broadsheets, for newspapers, and Montesquieu doesn't want to be associated with people who are writing that sort of, if you forgive me, Daily Mail kind of rubbish. And so it won't do. And the other thing, I suppose, is that by keeping his identity anonymous, he has a certain distance on the work. The book goes out there, it can cause a certain amount of controversy and debate, and he can stand aloof from it and observe the response. I suppose the third and vital point, of course, is that had his name been on it, he might have been subject to reprisal from the censor. Voltaire was thrown into the Bastille in 1718 and eventually, of course, really did fall foul of the censor. Voltaire did, and as a result decided to live just over the border in Ferney, just over the border in Switzerland. So Montesquieu, perhaps not quite so bold as Voltaire, decided that you could only probe so far. He published the text and it sold like hotcakes and did extremely well and has been in the canon ever since. Who is Montesquieu's readership? I think his readership is anyone who is literate, meaning the best educated part of the French public, so elite. We're probably talking about a readership of, I think, anywhere from 10 to 20,000 people, a metropolitan readership in Bordeaux, in Paris, perhaps in a few other cities. Free thinkers, i.e. people who are perhaps atheists. Free thinking is often seen as is a term that's used synonymously with atheism in the period. He wishes the clergy to read it because he wishes to scandalize them. Academicians, nobles who are in the academies, like the Academy of Bordeaux, magistrates, anyone who needs to be shaken up or anyone who is already on the side of the philosophe and believes in the Enlightenment as a movement. And I suppose at the political level, Montesquieu, I don't think he's hoping to destabilize the church or destabilize the monarchy, but clearly the regency, because it is this very strange transitional arrangement, and by the way, the regent, a plot is uncovered against the regent, so there are, you know, plans afoot to change the way power is held in France. Montesquieu takes advantage of all of that at this time of transition to suggest that there may be other ways of doing things. And what's interesting about his attitude or his program is how he uses fiction to convey that message of skepticism, rational inquiry, openness, and change.